Thank you for showing that to me during the break.
It's so funny, isn't it?
The listeners don't know what we're talking about, but they will.
Jabroni the Week.
They will if they hang around. This is great, man.
At 550.
I don't know how I hadn't seen this already. Oh, that's good. It's a good day when Kentucky fans are sad, right? We don't like Kentucky.
Sore losers, man.
Yeah. News from the Big 12. Baylor guard Al Freeman is going to transfer after the spring semester and will be eligible to play next season as a graduate transfer. We see this very commonly in college basketball. It happens quite a bit in football as well. You'll recall Cedric Dozier, K-State, defensive back this past season, had spent his career at Cal before transferring to K-State, and he was eligible right away for one season. Well, Al Freeman, a Baylor guard, is going to do the same. No word on where he'll be headed, but I think that's a pretty sizable loss for Baylor. He averaged 9.4 points a game this season. He's 6'3" out of Charlotte, North Carolina. He did have 21 points in the Bears' first round game of the NCAA tournament this year against New Mexico State. He's a good player, and he is not going to be with the Bears next season. They're losing a couple other notable guys as well, potentially Jonathan Motley to the NBA. There's going to be quite a bit of talent that's lost from the Big 12 this year. Iowa State is losing almost their entire starting lineup with Oklahoma State. You know, Juwan Evans is most likely gone. You know, Phil Forte is gone, and Jeffrey Carroll could be gone as well. With K-State, we see DJ Johnson and Wesley Iwundu gone, which are probably K-State's two most important players. So a lot of unknown faces are going to be playing Big 12 basketball next year, but Al Freeman is one of those guys that's choosing to look somewhere else.
And to kill the speculation on what's going on Twitter, I've seen it quite a bit today with Al Freeman. I just saw it not too long ago about there's a lot of people that think it's because of what's going on at Baylor. He's trying to get out of there, trying to stay away from that.
Baylor football thing?
Yes, it's that is strictly a football thing.
Yeah.
I would almost promise you that because we haven't seen really anybody else outside of football transfer away from Baylor just to stay away from that.
Except for like the female like track athletes that were actually victims or alleged victims in those situations. But you're right. I don't think that's I have absolutely no way of backing that up, but it just doesn't sound right to me.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's transferring because he's already had an opportunity presented to him for his senior he's a graduate transfer, so he probably sees a future for himself, but maybe more success somewhere else, and he already has a place in mind.
I would have thought him averaging 9.4 points this year, I would have thought that he would have been one of Baylor's stars next year. Oh, well, we'll see where he ends up.
Where does that leave Baylor? With Manu LeCompte, pretty much?
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, Scott Drew, who we've talked about a lot, and John is a big advocate for.
I've been a wizard.
Less so, but he's always done a good job at finding lengthy, athletic guys that can get the job done. I'm sure that they'll be fine. Another piece of small news before we get to our last break of this first hour. The Royals are going to start out the season with a little bit of a hobbled player. Jorge Soler is going to be headed most likely for the 10-day disabled list with an oblique strain, a grade one oblique strain that he suffered on Sunday afternoon. So we may see like Terrence Gore in the outfield or something like that for the Royals a little bit in the first week or so of the season. It's not ideal. It's not a season-changing thing, I don't think. But we will have to wait a little bit before Jorge Soler, who was one of the bigger acquisitions in the offseason for the Royals, actually makes his debut for KC.
And we actually also found out that Raul Mondesi will be starting at second base.
Yes, that is notable. Raul Mondesi winning the second base job. I actually like it. I think that the floor is lower with him, but the ceiling is clearly a lot higher. We're going to have to see what that means for guys like Whit Merrifield, Christian Colon, both of which have proven that they can be useful on a major league team. But I really don't know what's going to happen with the two of them, and I don't know how many options they have left, which could be a concern for the Royals later on the season, especially if Mondesi gets hurt.
And it kind of felt like second base was the most, maybe the most competitive spot. It kind of had to be the most competitive spot this year.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, either there or right field, but, I mean, you just felt like the price to get Soler was so significant that, right. You know, you have to put him out there and give him the opportunity to start. I would say either that or, like, one of the starting pitching spots, you know, the number five.
I guess the fifth spot. Yeah, that would have been.
But second base was right up there, and that has been a weaker spot for the Royals over the last few years. If they could shore that up, that would certainly go a long way toward them making it back to the playoffs this year and competing in the AL Central. We're less than a week away. It's hard to believe.
Monday night,
the Royals open up their season.
Monday afternoon.
Oh, is it Monday afternoon?
Afternoon.
Okay. I don't know if I'm scheduled to work next Monday afternoon, but I might be sick.
I think it's a 3:10 first pitch.
I might be sick. We're going to head to our final break of this first hour. When we come back, the Raiders are officially on the move to Las Vegas, but not for a while. And Mitch has a couple thoughts on the NFL's new rules that they have announced over the last couple of days. That's coming up next on The Game.